or ministry or anything like that, that's me time. And so I'll go there, I'll get a cup of coffee, I'll sit at the table, I'll put my iPad, turn my iPad on, and I'll watch a podcast just for me, just to grow me. You should try that. It's pretty awesome. Growing me, making sure that I'm healthy, making sure that my mind is right, my spirit's right. And so I love Craig Groeschel. He's awesome. How many of you guys know who he is? Pastor is just phenomenal. Speaks the truth. He's just a really good communicator. And he talked about this story. You know, I laughed out loud at a coffee shop, and you guys know it's the equivalent of laughing out loud in a library, right? And so everybody's got their earbuds in, and you know, and so here I'm sitting there, and there's a women's Bible study over there. They're sitting around and they're talking, and I just bust out laughing. I just thought it's hilarious, and they stop and look at me. I'm like, yeah, sorry about that. And so there's this pastor, and he was telling a story about this pastor's older pastor, and he liked to play rugby. He just wouldn't give it up. He just felt like his body was holding up, and so rugby's tough, right? Matt plays rugby, see? That's another thing, interesting fact about Matt. He loves rugby and kittens. And so, preach, Jimmy, stop going. And so anyway, so he loved playing rugby. And so one day he just threw his gear on the floor in his bedroom, didn't think much about it. And one of his granddaughters came over to visit. She was 4 years old. And you know how little kids are, they love to get into everything. Well, she got into some of his equipment, and it was his athletic cup. And she came out, and you know, she's flipping it up in the air. She's looking at it. You know, she's trying to figure out what this thing is that she found on the floor. This is a treasure. She's never seen anything like this before. And so she said, "Grandpa, what is this?" And he's like, and so he couldn't get it out of his mouth what it was. And so she said, "Oh, I know what it is. It's an oxygen mask." Right? Did you guys throw up in your mouth a little bit too? If you don't know what a thing is for, the purpose of a thing, you'll misuse it every time. Right? So if you don't know what it is, you're going to misuse it. So, and if you don't know what it is, don't ask the thing. Ask the person that created the thing. What is this? Right? And so that's what we need to do as believers, individually and collectively as a church. We are to value our purpose. We are to seek it out with all that we have. Jesus tells a story about a man that goes into a field, and he finds a diamond, and he buys the field for whatever the price was, because he knew that that field had great value. It cost him everything, but he bought it. And you and I need to do the exact same thing. God has planted inside of us something that is of great value. And the way we find our purpose, the way we find that great value, is by selling all that we have over to Him. Now, what do we have that is so valuable? What do we have that is that God would want? First thing is our repentance. The second thing is to lay down our plans and our thoughts before Him. Because our plans is what we value. The purposes that we came up is what we value. It's what we associate ourselves with, right? But when we become believers, we are to die to ourselves. And sometimes all the time, dying to ourselves is a wretched death. Don't act like it's easy, because it isn't. Dying to yourself and what you want, what you value, and what your plans are is impossible. Except with Christ. He helps us die to ourselves. die to our own plans and our own will, because His plans for us are for our good and not our harm, according to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's the plans that I want. That's the purpose that I want to have for myself. And the way that we get Jeremiah 29:11 in our life is by laying down our plans over here and dying to them. And saying, Father, this is my best laid plans. This is where I feel comfortable. This is where I feel good. This is where I feel like I flourish the most. But I lay down my plans, and if that's not what you want me to do, then I fully accept your good plans for my life. And if I need to make adjustments, if I need to make a career change, if I need to make an attitude change, then I lay it down before you today. Take stock in my life in order that I can have your purpose in me, thriving in me, driving me forward. And the way we get caught up in some of those things is we get caught up in wanting the approval and acceptance of other people. And we do it to the point where we lose all recollection of what our purpose is about and what God's plan for us in our life is. And we get caught up in people-pleasing and wondering if they like us and wondering if they saw our last post or our last picture. You know, the picture that I posted, that I used this special little filter. Did you see that? Did you like it? Did you comment on it? Did you repost it? Did you do all of this? Because I spent a long time trying to do it. We get caught up in trying to please everyone else that we lose all sight of our purpose. And when we have purpose in our life and we know what our purpose is, then it's okay to say no to people. It's okay to stop pleasing other people. Can I get an amen? I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to throw nothing at you. Just close your eyes just for a second. And I want you to imagine for a second, 1 second, that you have pleased everybody in your life. You are having a stellar day, and everybody that you're trying to please, you have pleased them. They're about to throw a ticker tape parade in your honor because you pleased them. Now open your eyes. Did you enjoy that? Good, because that is not real. It's never going to happen. You're never going to please everybody. You're going to be misunderstood. People are going to question your motives. Listen, when the Lord saved Jimmy McDonald, and when was it? 1992, July 1992 in Dallas, Texas. And I heard for the first time the Lord's voice and His purpose for my life, and I felt true forgiveness and acceptance from a Father that I have never seen before. My eyes filled up with tears, and my life has never been the same. My purpose was revealed, I was forgiven, and my life was set on a path that has brought me to Green Bay, Wisconsin, speaking before you guys this morning. But along the way, I was misunderstood. The closest people around me became my accusers. I thought they would be my fans, but they became my accusers. They threw doubt my way. They would say that I know who you are. This goody-goody two-shoe thing is not going to last. I've partied with you. I've seen who you are. I know what you're capable of doing. And to be honest with you, I told them this. I agree with everything you said. I don't know how long it's going to last either. All I know is that I had an encounter with Jesus that I cannot explain, and something in me is different. And I've got to figure out what that is and how I can nurture that so that I can be the man of God He has called me to be. Notice I didn't say the best minister He has called me to be, but the best man of God He has called me to be. And however I need to nurture that, I'm going to do it if it costs me everything. You and I are no different. We want the same thing. We want to function in our purpose. Excuse me. And so the way that that gets disrupted is by trying to please. Honey, would you give me a glass of water? It's by pleasing everybody. By asking everybody's opinion. Hey, what do you think about this? I heard this from God. What do you think? Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Hey, brother, sister. Hey, spouse. Hey, whoever. What do you think about this? And that's okay. It's okay to get counsel. But when God has spoken something to you directly, don't spill it out to everybody that'll listen. Thank you. Guard that word that God has given you. Pray over it. Mull it over in your head and in your spirit. And when the time is right, excuse me, when the time is right, then get counsel. Because you're going to be misunderstood. That's what happens when we begin to walk in our purpose. As a church body, it works the same way. We have to know what we value and let that drive us as a church. And when that is made clear, we can run with it. Everybody say, run with it. Not knowing your purpose is a lot like getting into a taxi and telling the driver, I'm not sure where I want to go, but take me somewhere. Right? It serves no purpose and it costs you money. Right? Just saying, the driver's not going anywhere. I'm like, I don't know where you want to go. Where do you want to go? And we begin to frustrate everybody around us because we're frustrated ourselves. It's time that we sit still for a little while. We Westerners, we've got to constantly be doing something, right? We're a purpose-driven country. We're driven by success. We don't want to sit still. We've got to move forward. But sometimes sitting still is moving forward. Recalibrating. Getting alone. There's a ministry that just started up a couple of years ago called Be Still. And this couple started it. And they took these, they bought this property, has this huge barn on it, and they put tiny houses all around it. And it's for pastors and their wives. And they sold their very lucrative business, and they put it all into this ministry. This is their purpose. And it's to be a blessing to pastors and their wives and missionaries and their families. And it's completely free. Everything they have there, completely free. Stay as long as you want, completely free. And getting alone sometimes in those moments, and we're going to take advantage of that. We're going to go and have a good time. It's going to be awesome. But sitting still, being quiet, turning the television off, going to bed a little earlier, getting up a little earlier, and spending a little extra time with God and saying, Lord, I want to know what your purpose is, and I'm willing to do what it takes to figure this thing out because I don't want to be shot in 1,000 different directions. I want to know what my purpose is so that I can go at it with all my heart, with all my strength, and everything that is within me in order that I can say no to good things, in order that I won't be a people pleaser, but that I will be concerned about pleasing my Father in heaven because His plans for me are good. So again, the fastest way to forget our purpose is to put more value in what others think about us than what God thinks about us. And today I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. And if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 24, and we'll finish up verse 25. It's very short. This is about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses chose purpose over popularity and comfort. And today, I want you as individuals and us as a church to choose purpose over popularity, because we are the sum total of the choices that we make. Let me say that again. We are the sum total of the choices that we make. It's time for choosing. We have to make choices. And sometimes those choices cost us everything. And the only way they cost you everything is by you being convinced that God has spoken to you about your purpose. And so Moses, we see here that he chose. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose. Everybody say he chose. To be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Sometimes people talk about their purpose and are overwhelmed because they have no idea what it is they should be doing or what they've been placed on earth to do. For such a time as this, some people are overwhelmed by that question. What is my purpose? What have I been put on this earth to do? Have I been put on earth to cure cancer? Have I been on earth to, am I been placed on earth to go on the mission field, to preach the gospel to thousands, to, you know, the big, big questions that we have. What on earth have I been put on this planet for? And today I want to talk about a few things. I want to break purpose down into two different categories for a second. Number one, the first category is the capital P of purpose. That is questions like, what have I been put here for? Am I to go on a mission field? Or am I to marry this person? Am I to do this? The big capital P questions. And then I want to break it down into the lowercase p questions. And it's this, the lowercase P purposes is like this. These purposes is a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, decision-by-decision-making moments to be faithful. It's the moments that are overlooked in all of our lives. This lowercase p moments are being faithful in studying God's Word. And being faithful in praying and lifting up the Lord every single day. It's about being God's hands and feet every single day. God, how in the world can I show comfort to those that are hungry? How can I clothe those who are naked? How can I be peace to somebody else? And we overlook those lowercase p moments every day in our lives. We miss our coworker when they're crying in their cubicle, or when we see that they're despondent during the day and we choose not to say anything for fear that we may upset them. And trust me, I understand that. But these are the lowercase p moments, those purposeful moments that we miss a lot. When we push past that social agenda of, will they be upset if I talk to them? Will they be upset if I mention anything, and push past it at lunch and go, hey, I noticed you haven't said much today. Are you okay? Be amazed how powerful those questions are. Or, hey, I just want to tell you today that I love working with you. I think you're awesome. I think you're great. Or how about that hard-to-deal-with coworker? Nobody wants to work with them. Nobody wants to eat lunch with them. And if they do, it's fake. It's sickening fake, right? They're not invited to the Christmas parties, and if they are, you're bummed out about it, right? So these lowercase p moments are moments that we all have in our life. It's not set aside for clergy. It's set aside for believers. And if we can't be faithful to these lowercase p moments in our life, moments where we see somebody that we can bless, moments that we see an opportunity to share what God did for us. On last Sunday morning when we went up and Pastor Jimmy asked for anybody that was sick to come forward, and they laid hands on me and I'm healed. Those lowercase p moments where we share that we have been healed with everybody that will listen. Those moments where we're being faithful day by day. We don't want to get up and study. We don't want to take a moment to ponder and to meditate. Listen, meditation didn't start with just the Hindus and all the Eastern religions. All right, meditation started in the Word of God when it told us to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And the more we become faithful in those lowercase p moments, when we're studying the Word of God, when we're praying, when we're being faithful in school, when everybody else is talking about something that is inappropriate, and we stick out like a sore thumb, not throwing judgment bombs or any of those things, but just simply being us, being the light of Christ. Keeping yourself pure, keeping yourself right, encouraging one another, building each other up, and as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. And when you do that, those lowercase p moments become a platform for those capital P moments to come flooding into your life. Your purpose will be revealed in the everyday, step-by-step day of faithful walking with Christ. Amen? Some of you here today may be waiting for that audible voice telling you what to do, or that hand from God writing on the wall exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Stop looking for that. Live by faith, amen, and not by sight. Stop waiting on the finger of God and start stepping by faith. Try that out. It works. And every time you do that, you step further into obedience. And the next time God asks you to step, He's going to ask you to step into a little bit deeper water. And when you're obedient to that, He's going to start asking you to step into hip deep water. And before you know it, you'll be walking on water in your purpose. Not hearing an audible word from God, you're just stepping in faith. You're walking in your purpose, because it started back here in these lowercase p moments when nobody else was walking with you, when nobody else said that it was significant, when everybody else said that it's not important. You're stepping. You're stepping. Because you know that God has called you to be faithful to His Word, faithful to prayer, faithful to be the light of Christ. We don't have to pray about these things, because it's been commanded that we be these things. Amen? Some of us need to stop praying and start walking. Amen? And so this morning, I want you to not despise those lowercase p moments, because they are springboards to your uppercase P living. And so this morning I have three thoughts about the power of purpose. Number one, purpose diminishes distractions. Purpose diminishes distractions. Our biggest distractions for some of us is comparing. What do you think about me? Am I better than they are? Why am I not where I need to be? Why is our church not 1,000? Right? All of those questions start coming into our head, and sooner or later, those questions are going to be what drives us and not our purpose. Because those questions can never be answered effectively, because it's never good enough. The opinion of man is never good enough. I used to, when I first started preaching, I try to mimic other pastors because, man, I'm trying my wheels out, right? I got training wheels on. I'm pointing my finger. I'm trying to act like I can't be like T.D. Jakes. I tried that once. That doesn't work. Nobody can be T.D. Jakes but T.D. Jakes, right? And so you're trying it out. You're trying to see where you fit and how the purpose of God fits into your life. You're trying it out. And so I'd get done preaching, and then I'd start talking to folks. I'd start digging a little bit. Hey, what'd you think? I had this one retired missionary once. It was in Golden City, Missouri. How many of you guys know where Golden City, Missouri is? Yep, that's about what I thought. Golden City, Missouri. Every time I was asked to preach by the pastor, and he was gracious. He was a guy that would release young ministers to preach on Sunday evenings. Pass or fail, he'd let them do it. I thank God for pastors like that, because it gave me the confidence and the foundation I needed to become a minister, to become a speaker. And so, but this retired minister that was there felt like it was his duty to pull me aside and to tell me what I said wrong and to correct me and to do all these different things. And so when you're asking for people's opinion, you set yourself up for failure and discouragement every single time. And so stop asking everybody for their opinion, because it's a distraction. And so number one, purpose diminishes distractions. When we know our purpose, we're not going to be as distracted. Now the enemy will try to come and throw some distraction things our way, but because we know our purpose, we can say no to good things. And the enemy will do that. He will bring up very good opportunities in your life that could possibly bless you financially, that could bring good things into your life, but it doesn't fit your purpose. And you'll be tempted to do that thing, that good thing, but it's going to distract you from what you're supposed to be about. And so the enemy is way smarter than we give him credit for, because he's not going to just throw evil things at us. He's going to say, hey, catch that promotion. Hey, catch that car. Hey, catch this piece of land. Hey, catch this whatever opportunity, this opportunity. And we're going to look at it and go, man, that is good. That's awesome. And you know what? Get excited about it. But at the same time, pray about it and say this. Lord, does this opportunity fit my purpose? And then just be quiet. Don't go, well, I think it might because of this, and I think this piece of land is going to be a blessing because we can do this, and I think this, and on we go, and then all of a sudden we've convinced ourselves that it's from the Lord. There's a reason why Scripture tells us to be still, to be quiet, to ask your question, and then allow the Lord to answer it for us. And if He says no, then that means we've got to say no to that good thing in order that we can be about what God's purpose is for our life, both as individuals and as a church. As a church, I'm not a big conference goer. I'll go to a few conferences that fit in to our vision and our values. Pastor Johnny and I, we go to a church planting conference every single year. We went last month to Chicago and was spent overnight listening to all these church planters from around the world. Why? Because it feeds into our purpose. It feeds into our values. It feeds in what God has called us to do. And that's what you need to do as individuals as well. I can't go around to all these different conferences and go, man, that's good. Wow, I want that. I want to implement this. And I think Dave can implement that one. And I think James can implement that one, and Tina, she can implement this one, and this is going to be great. I have those thoughts all the time. But I don't act on them. I pray about them. Lord, does this fit our purpose as New Freedom Church? That's why I don't fill up the schedule with all kinds of different things. If we don't have folks to do those things, I don't implement them. Why? Because I'm not going to kill myself. You guys trust me to be your pastor because there's a direction that I have set, and we're going in that direction. Amen? We're going in that direction. We're going to love people. We're going to help people plant churches. We're going to evangelize not just the world, but we're going to evangelize our backyard. Amen? We're going to value community here at this church. We're going to disciple people. We're going to pray until we see God come through. We're going to worship even through our pain. We're going to give God the best possible worship we can do. But we can't do it if we're distracted. We can't do it if we're trying to please everybody else and try to pry and get little nuggets of hope in our ear. Yes, you did a good job. Good job. Good job. The moment we begin to ask opinions for everybody else concerning what God has placed in our life is the moment we lose it. We've got to protect that which God has spoken to us in order that we can be about what God wants us to do. Purpose diminishes distractions. Number two, the second thought on purpose is purpose pushes you through the pain. It's going to be painful when you push toward your purpose. Don't think that you're going to be the exception of this. When your purpose is revealed to you and you begin to talk to your pastor, talk to trusted voices, this is what's going to happen. There's going to still be naysayers that will tell you, what are you thinking? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. But because you know what your purpose is, you can push past the pain. It's like childbirth. A woman knows that the end of the pain, the purpose of pain, is that a baby is on its way. Amen? And so we know that the end of that birth produces that promise, that baby. And so because of it, you can endure the pain because you know that it's for a season. Number three, the third thought on purpose is this. Purpose empowers you and us as a church to please God. Now, when the Apostle Peter was told he couldn't preach in the name of Jesus, Peter replied, and I love his reply, it says this, we must obey God rather than man. And so let's try that for once, to stop people-pleasing and determine in our hearts to please God first and watch what happens. And listen to me. We can't please everybody, but we can please God. Sometimes we can't please our spouse, we can't please our coworkers or our boss or our kids or whatever the situation may be, but we can please God. How do we please God? This is how we do it. Whenever we choose to live by faith and not by sight, we please God. When we are obedient to the lowercase p moments and faithful in the small things, we please God. When we get up in the morning and we hit the Bible app rather than Facebook, we're pleasing God. When we take a moment to pray and to seek His face, when we want to go this direction, but we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His good plans for our life, we're pleasing God. Church, there has to be a moment in our life when we walk by faith so that we're not distracted and we can push through the pain. And so if we're going to find purpose in our life, then this third thought has got to ring true, that our purpose empowers you and I to please God as individuals and as a church. And so today is the start of this new series called This Is Us. It's about who we are, finding our purpose, what we value, what is important to us as a church and you specifically as individuals. Would you stand with me today? This is us. That's a definitive statement, isn't it? It's not, hey, I think this is us. Hey, this might be us. I'm pretty sure this is us. It's a definitive statement. It says, this is us. This is how we define ourselves. This is the boundaries. These are the healthy boundaries in our lives as a church. This keeps us pushing forward like pistons in a car. It drives us forward. And when one of these pistons are knocking or out of whack, the whole vehicle is out of whack. And so it's important to know who we are as a church, and it's equally as important to know who we are and what we're supposed to be about as believers individually. How many of you guys are ready to find that out? Amen? Look, I am so excited about this year and what God's going to do through us as a church. I'm excited. You know, in the last 7 months, we have received 10 new members into New Freedom Church. In the last 7 months, we have seen 10 people come to Christ who have repented of their sins and turned their life over to Jesus. And we have seen more new families come into New Freedom Church in the last 7 months than the rest of the years that we've been here on a steady basis. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about His plan for us as a church. You should equally be excited about this year and what God's going to do in your life.